Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
On Zoom, we are joined by somebody who is probably the biggest asset to our community and a great friend to our radio station. We are joined by Professor Barry Shoup. Good morning, Professor. How are you today? Let's just check we got the sound all sorted. Let's try that again. Professor Shoup, can you hear us?
I can hear you very well. I can hear you and see you.
Oh, fantastic. I can hear and see you as well. Wonderful to see you, Prof. I made mention a little bit earlier that every time we do speak to you, it's never about easy topics, but they are nevertheless very, very important topics. Prof, what's come up in the news again is Ebola. Now, I remember a couple of years ago, I can't exactly pinpoint the year, but there was a quote going around that Kim Kardashian in America had been married to more men than people that have died from Ebola. So it was kind of suggested that it wasn't as serious as people made it out to be. But should we be worried about Ebola? Have things changed?
Yeah, look, I think it is a worrying outbreak. In fact, the WHO have classified it as a public health emergency of international concern. You know, it's a designation they give to alert public health authorities throughout the world, not only in the place where the outbreak has occurred, but just to kind of heighten their surveillance and be aware that there is this threat, this public health threat. It is a concerning. I mean, there's been, I think close on 300 cases now and close on 80 deaths. So it is a severe disease. It's a very severe disease. And it's certainly in that area needs very energetic public health response to try and contain it.
So perhaps we can take a step back and maybe just refresh our minds and kind of maybe reestablish what is Ebola and why should we be worried about it?
Okay, it's a virus infection, and it causes a very severe disease which is characterized by people bleeding. Hemorrhagic fever. It affects the blood clotting mechanism. And it does carry quite a high mortality. I think it's high because most of these cases occur in very underserved, underprivileged parts of the world, rural communities where the healthcare facilities are very, very poor. Not quite as severe and obviously in a more developed, and there have been imported cases, for example, in Europe and in the United States, where the mortality is very much lower. But nevertheless, it is a severe disease. There is a vaccine that has been developed against Ebola, but unfortunately, this particular strain, it goes by the name of Bundibugyo.
Wow,
the local dialect. This particular strain, unfortunately, there isn't a vaccine.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
This is why there's, again, another reason why there's public health concern about it.
But how did we get to this point again? I mean, you know, it hasn't been in the news for a long time. To be honest, you forget about some of these diseases. But how did we? Was it a lack of funding from the World Health Organization? Were systems not in place? Like, how did it come to get this many cases?
Yeah, I think that the lack of funding, the fact that the United States has pulled out of the WHO, I think all these things do contribute to a surveillance system which is not optimal. But that's, of course, not the cause of the outbreak. The cause of the outbreak are the ecological circumstances in that particular area, and also the lack of healthcare facilities. You know, it's in the DRC where the health facilities are not that great. And spilled over into Uganda, unfortunately, as well. So I think, yes, public health problems there have obviously facilitated why it's kind of as extensive as it is at the moment, because it is a massive outbreak. But it's not the cause of it. You know, Ebola kind of, it smoulders for a while, then it erupts, causes an outbreak. There's a public health response, and then it dies down again. And I think it's really the kind of circumstances, the population circumstances, the lack of healthcare facilities, et cetera, in that area, which caused these outbreaks to occur now and again.
So how worried should you and I and everybody else in Johannesburg and South Africa be? How worried should we all be? Are we at a point where we need to take precautions, or is it still a while away?
No, I think it's certainly a while away. It's certainly localized to the DRC and some cases have spilled over into Uganda. So I think it probably will be contained. I don't think it's going to be spread beyond that. Unfortunately, some healthcare workers have also died
Sure.
in the process. But at the moment, it doesn't seem to have spread beyond that. And I don't think really that there's any cause for us to be worried about. There is the issue about travel, and travel, I think if one is traveling to the more urban developed parts of the DRC and Uganda, probably not too much to worry at this stage, but certainly to be alerted to what's happening in that part of the world.
If you just joined us, we are speaking to Professor Barry Shoup about Ebola and what we need to know and all the things that come with it. Prof, we will we don't we it's still a little bit fresh in some of our minds, but COVID wasn't that long ago, and probably we did learn a thing or two from COVID, which probably would help us prepare ourselves for Ebola. And I know there's also hantavirus, which we're going to touch on soon, but. Are there lessons that we have learned that we are now somewhat better prepared? All the health, I like to think the health infrastructures in those countries have somehow, become a bit more better prepared.
Yeah, I think we have learned a lot of lessons from the COVID pandemic. But I must stress, this is completely different. Both the
Okay.
hantavirus episode as well as Ebola are completely different to COVID. COVID is a respiratory spread epidemic or pandemic, and that's why it spreads so rapidly throughout the world. This is quite different. Ebola is spread by coming to contact with body secretions, coming directly in contact with patients that are affected. So it's not spread through the air, not spread by aerosols, for example, as occurred with COVID. But yes, no, we do learn from each of these outbreaks. And in fact, the previous Ebola ones, we learned how to contain it by making a vaccine. It's just unfortunate this particular strain of Ebola now, this current epidemic, is not covered by vaccine.
Okay, so Prof, so that actually we made some very, very important points there. So we kind of have to maybe separate the two. So I know we all, when anything of this nature happens, we revert back to what we learned, what we know about COVID. But you did make a good point that they are very different, especially the way that it is spread. So there isn't such a need for panic at the moment, or I don't want to use the word panic because that probably does cause panic, but. It's under control, if that's what you're trying to say.
I think so. It's just being contained in that area, but within that area, of course, there's still a need for a very vigorous public health response. But outside that area, no, it hasn't spread beyond that.
Okay, fantastic. Prof, we are going to take a quick break, and we are going to just make sure that we pay the bills, as everyone else says, and we will be back in a couple of minutes. Thank you very much.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As mentioned, we are speaking to Professor Barry Shoup, and thank you, Prof, for being with us this morning. Always great to chat to you, even though sometimes the conversations are tough and sometimes cause a little bit of anxiety. But as we have been discussing about Ebola and hantavirus, they are very different, not very different, but they are different to COVID. So there's no need to make any sort of major change in your day-to-day routine. But Prof, I have been noticing, I don't know whether there's any sort of connection, that a lot more people are wearing masks at the moment, and there's a bit more fist pumping and when you're greeting people. Is there any particular reason for that? Have you noticed that, or are people being a little bit overcautious?
Well, yeah, no, I think, in the old days, pre-COVID days, in fact, people from the Orient used to often wear, if they had a cold, they'd wear masks to stop, the infection
Sure.
being transmitted to other people.
Well, okay.
And I think that's really such a kind of wonderful thing, it's a courteous thing to do. Look, the main infection that is spread by the respiratory route is influenza. And we are heading into the influenza season now. So people that wear masks it does to some extent, well, to a quite significant extent, reduce the transmission of the virus. Of course, we always, as you probably know, we do recommend that people should, and particularly people that are elderly or got underlying medical conditions, should get the influenza vaccine. I still get questions, is it not too late now? We're really well into May. No, as we said, it's never too late to vaccinate. So I think particularly people that are vulnerable, the elderly and people with underlying medical conditions, should go and get an influenza shot. That is something which does affect everybody. We're all vulnerable to influenza, and it can be prevented. So, COVID, of course, is now very much less. There are occasional cases that we get COVID, but very much less than influenza.
So, Prof, you're basically saying, you know, it is that time of the year, winter. You know, you always know winter's coming because the shovel is always as cold as it gets. I think if they move shovel to February, it will still be cold. As you made mention, that there are actually normal procedures and protocols that we should be looking out for, just to make sure we're keeping our general health intact.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And, you know, there are a couple of things. Wearing a mask, certainly if one is compelled to go and meet, to come into contact with other people, and one has a cold or influenza, it's really kind of, consideration for other people to wear a mask. People are sometimes a little bit embarrassed about who.
Sure, I was going to say that.
To try and avoid, and certainly to avoid coughing into one's elbow. If one does have to cough, or sneezing into a tissue, washing one's hands, all these hygienic precautions are now very relevant coming into the influenza season.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much, Prof. That some of that information is going to be very, very handy coming into when it's actually going to be properly winter. Prof, always a pleasure to chat to you. And I hope that the conversation is that we're not going to have this conversation again in terms of Ebola and Hunter virus, and that things are contained and that we can live our day-to-day lives as best as we can. That was Prof. Barry Shoup, absolute asset and legend of our community. Thank you so much for your time, Prof, and always a pleasure to chat to you.